Good afternoon, afternoon, afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble. And we also have, I believe, Dr. Feynman on the phone. Are you there, Dr. Feynman?
Of course I'm here.
Of course you're there. You were here before.
Yes, because I had to defend Lady Bird Johnson.
I loved it.
At the end, actually, Scott defended it by telling me something I didn't know, that she went to Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis's funeral without an announcement. I hadn't known about that, so that's a good thing about her.
When we got off the air, I said, how do you know that? Well, he had read it in somebody's book.
I read a lot, and I watch a lot, but as I said, we all learn every day. That's what's important. We all learn new material.
That's true.
I educate, you educate, he educates, Adam educates, everybody does.
That's the mission of this station, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but our mission is education. So
education and not propaganda like Fox News Channel.
We try not to, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, well, how was your week? I hope things are going well. My puppy dog got really sick last night, and I almost thought I wouldn't be here for the show, and I knew I was going to be here for this show, but I didn't know what I was going to do with the puppy, so we took him in this morning, and the vet took care of him, so our executive producer is on the mend. I hope you had a good week.
Well, I also had a blood pressure issue, and I was a little concerned about what might come from it. But all it had is an upgrading of medication, so hopefully everything will be fine. But I have an appointment on Monday, you know, so...
I wasn't going to mention that, but I thought, you know...
Yeah, well, the blood pressure, I've had a blood pressure problem, and suddenly it became alarming, so I had to make a special appointment. But anyway, so I'm taking more medication, and hopefully it'll work. I don't know why. I feel fine, but... The blood pressure readings are not good, you know.
Well, when you called in, Scott's eyes got really big, so I knew it was somebody that I knew, and then as soon as you got on the air, I knew who you were, and I thought, well, I know he's had a little bit of a blood pressure problem. This isn't going to help.
Oh, come on, that's not true. Talking about history and politics, to me, is my life mission, you know. I've felt this way since I was 10 years old.
Yeah, really? You knew that far back that you wanted to go through... do things in history and...
Well, because my father picked up the book outside the apartment we lived in that had been left by someone across the hall that didn't want to throw it down to shoot, and he brought it in, and it was The American Past by Roger Butterfield, 1947 book, and this was in 1955 when I was 10 years old, and it had pictures, and it had cartoons and all kinds of information about American history up to 1945, of course. And, you know, and I remember that. I still have that book. It really gravitated my interest in the idea of, wow, American history and the presidency. And so it's been going on for 65 plus years.
My father did the same thing. He walked across the street to the church and brought home a Bible.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
No, it was okay. And believe it or not, I was very devout as a Christian, and I have read a lot about different religions, so I know stuff about religions. My wife even asks me questions about religions, knowing full well I'm an atheist.
Well, I was very devout as a kid in being Jewish, and through the bar mitzvah, and I also sang in the choir at the synagogue, but you know, I even thought of being a rabbi or cantor, and then about 14 I changed my mind.
I had two friends, Lillian and Norman Gerwitz, who were my Jewish friends. There weren't very many Jewish people at my school. There were a lot of African-American. South Bend, Indiana is where I went to grade school. And they took me to synagogue, and they took me to, Friday school, or is it Saturday school? I don't remember which one. But we went there, and I guess I was taught how to speak Jewish. I don't know.
Speak Hebrew, yeah.
Hebrew, yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, I was really into it because I loved the cancer. I idolized him. You know, if you're impressed by some individual, you know, as a young person, it can have a great effect on you. But yet, by the time I was 14 or 15, I still, like, lost interest. It just happened. Maybe it's part of the way life is. I don't know. Yeah. But, so I've become less and less religious as the years go by, you know, and, you know, I still believe in God, and I'm still proud I'm Jewish, but I don't attend synagogue regularly, and I really am not into people who claim they have all the answers, you know, because they believe in a strict interpretation of the Old and New Testament. I don't believe that, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. I was watching a show last night on It was about 10 minutes to learning everything about being a Muslim. And it was quite interesting. Muhammad had all sorts of things that he had to go through, and people were trying to kill him, and it was kind of interesting. I had not heard that part of the story.
Unfortunately, we have too many people of any particular faith who act as if only their faith is the correct one, and therefore they downgrade other religions. I don't believe in that.
Well, my faith is the only correct one. None. Oh, I'm sorry. I know I have.
Remember, Judaism came before Christianity and Islam. Remember that.
Yeah, it did. And a lot of people don't realize that Islam came about around 500 something.
600, actually.
Yeah,
600,
closer
yeah.
To 600. And I think he was born in 500.
The end of the 500s, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And people.
What we call medieval history.
Yeah, well, but people think it's as ancient as, Judaism is.
No.
It's not even close. Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah. Anyway.
And again, Jesus was Jewish.
Yes, he was. He was Jewish. And so was his mother and his father.
Yes.
Yeah, anyway. So you had an interesting discussion with my cohort in crime here.
Yes, I always enjoy talking to Scott.
Yeah, Scott is a smart man. And
he's the best interview in the world, in my mind.
He's a good
really,
man.
I've always said he's exceptional. He really is.
He is exceptional, yeah. He has a method of not getting upset and listening to everything you say and providing you with feedback.
Well, he's professional.
Yeah.
You know, that's very good, you know.
Unlike me.
No, you're fine. It's just that he really overwhelms me. He is so good.
Yes, and he's had interviews with every star you can imagine. So.
Yes, and he's good at it. That's why I always joked. I used to say to Adam, he should move on to a bigger place than Ohio. Maybe get on one of the major networks, but I guess he doesn't want to.
I keep thinking I'm going to become his manager, and I'm going to take him on the road, and we're going to become rich. But I'm not that ambitious anymore. Maybe 20 years ago.
No, but at his age, he should. You know, if he had ambition, he could go on to a major network. I really believe that.
I think he enjoys what he's doing right now. I really do.
I'm glad he's happy. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying he's very, potential material for a higher level as far as the networks or, cable news or the major networks.
Yeah, but then you start losing control the higher up you go. And I think he has the control.
As long as he's happy in what he does, that's the most important thing. We should all try to be happy.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, let's get down to business. What do you say? What do you think about this? Do you think cinema is going to go along with the tax thing?
You know, the way she dressed it for the Senate, I guess it was yesterday, I don't think that was appropriate clothing, you know, what she was wearing. I don't know. She's a weird person. That's all I can say. And she's not good talking to her constituents. She ignores them. I think, she thinks she's going to keep her seat. Of course, it's 2024. But I have a feeling she's going to have a lot of trouble if she doesn't change her image. And right now, I don't think it's a very good image. Will she go along? I would think in some form, but Manchin's also still a headache, and it's holding up the whole future, and it's terrible that we're in this situation. But I did write an article in the last week on my progressive professor about past times that we've had split congresses where they're almost even, and I listed all the different congresses.
Yes, I saw that.
In the House. I don't know if you noticed it, did you?
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, so it's like seven House times and something like 11 Congress, 11
stunned.
Senate times.
Yeah.
It's been very close, and it's really a problem. It really is now, because the whole future is being held up because of two people, because we don't have more seats in the Senate, it's going to be a problem keeping the 50 seats, because midterm elections, the party in the White House, invariably, except 1934, is the one big exception, loses seats. So I am concerned.
I think that if we could do away with the filibuster, I believe that it would be a lot better. We'd get down to at least At least we'd have an opportunity to get down to one person, one vote. I don't know. Right now it isn't. And readjusting the voting for the Senate.
It's just, you know, even if they don't get rid of the filibuster completely, but carve out areas that they go away from the filibuster. They've done that before, so they can do some kind of change. That's the important thing.
I think that's a piecemeal way of getting there, but I really think that they ought to do. And I don't mind the filibuster where you go up and you read the New York phone book for 2 days.
Yes, and that's what they're talking about bringing back. We have to actually get up and talk and talk and talk and defend.
Yeah. Now, I don't mind that at all, but the idea that you can call in and say, I'm filibustering, and if everybody, you know, who knows whether these people called in? Maybe Mitch McConnell just said they called in. Maybe they didn't call in and say, I want to filibuster.
And the filibuster is always negative to deny people their basic human rights, for instance. It's just wrong, you know, it really is.
Yeah, it seems that way to me, and I don't think that they're going to change. They may change something for the voting, something for bills that have to do with voting, and
they need to.
At least that would be a start.
Oh my God! Especially because of what's going on, you know, with Texas, the way they're organizing their districts and gerrymandering. It's unbelievable the way they're doing it. It's such a corruptly governed state now, and so is Florida.
Now, do you think that the rich people and the rich corporations are going to stand for being taxed? Even though back when you and I were young men, they got taxed at a 90% tax.
Yes, they did.
And now it's closer to 40. And do you think and they don't pay that? So,
no, the billionaires, the top 10 billionaires, is just beyond belief, because what they would have to pay, they'd make up anyway, just in interest for the next year. So it's just pure greed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet a lot of average working class people seem to want to defend them. I just don't understand it, how they could not understand. You know, even Joe Manchin, he's not a billion, you know, he's not one of the top 10, but he's very wealthy, and his daughter is very wealthy, Heather, and it's just ridiculous how they just don't want to promote democracy in a state that's so poor, and mostly poor whites, not minorities as much as West Virginia.
Now, how did he make his money, do you know?
Coal industry, what do you think?
That's what I was going to say. It must have been.
And that's a dying thing, and it's also unsafe for people who do coal mining, you know, all along black lung disease, and it's shocking to me how he's trying to prop up an industry that is time to move this state forward and have alternatives for workers, and, you know, it also start taxing wealthy people to help bring about the change in a state that's one of the poorest in the country.
Yeah, and they don't really have to, like, I listen to, what's her name, from, gosh, from, anyway, we don't have to tax them that much, just tax them, you know, you could tax
them. It's not going to hurt, believe me.
You could tax them at the same level that I'm being taxed, and you'd make billions of dollars.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
It's just pure greed and lack of concern, and like, you know, with like Jeff Bezos and others with space, it's great to go into space, but how about trying to improve life on Earth first?
Yeah, that's been a question a lot of people have asked, and I was excited to watch them go up, but, you know, when I found out all they did is sort of break the surface of our level, and we're only up there for a few minutes, and came right back. What did they learn? They didn't learn anything. They just went up for the fun of it.
Well, theoretically, over time, you know, I'm sure they will gain scientific information that will help. But honestly, we need to work on what's going on Earth. We're in desperate circumstances with climate change and global warming, and yet there are people that claim that there's no problem. It's just, how can they say that? Pure lying, you know.
My wife and I talk about that. My wife likes to use the L word all the time. Everybody's lying. And I'm not sure they're lying. I just think they're so ignorant they don't know what the truth is sometimes.
Well, a lot of people are denying science.
Yes.
Just like they're denying history. They don't want history taught to kids, the true history. They don't want science to be taught, rather religion. That's why science and history are under attack, and, you know, curriculums are being manipulated and distorted by people who have evil intentions, as far as I see it.
You know, when you mentioned to me over the messaging service that you might not be able to be in because you're going to the doctor's office, I started doing a planning for another show, which I'm going to use next week because you're not, or 2 weeks from now when you're not going to be here.
Next week I'll be here, yeah, but two weeks. I'm going to be doing that lecture on Lincoln and the five former presidents alive at the time of the Civil War with PowerPoint in Fort Lauderdale at Florida Atlantic University Lifelong Learning, 1 to 2:30. So obviously I have to get tips. So when are you going to do that?
Anyway, I sat down and I found on YouTube, I found a professor of philosophy from Yale. I think it was Yale. It was one of the Ivies. And he talked about what Nazism really is.
Oh, it's about Timothy Snyder, I guess, right?
Yes, that was it.
Yeah, he's really exceptional. I've seen him on MSNBC and CNN, and of course he's written a very important book, yes. So you're going to have portions of his YouTube lecture?
Well, I listened to the lecture so that I could write down talking points, and I'm going to spend the show, 45 minutes, talking. I've been accused occasionally of being a Nazi. Anybody, it seems to be an ignorant response to if I disagree with you, I call you a Nazi.
I thought on the other end, most people would say if you don't agree with them, you're a socialist or a communist. Yeah, the other end of the spectrum.
I've had that too. So I get them from both sides. So I thought, well, I'll tell people what a Nazi is, what a fascist really is. And after reading this, watching this lecture by the gentleman, I wrote down all the points, looked at them, and it is a carbon copy of our past president.
Absolutely. I've been saying this for quite a while, and that's why I say the Republican Party now is fascist authoritarianism.
Yeah.
Except for the few people who voted and worked against Trump. But like Kevin McCarthy, I'm about to probably write an article that says Kevin McCarthy is as dangerous now as Joseph McCarthy was 70 years ago. He really is a menace.
Scary,
he should not become Speaker of the House, even if the Republicans win control, because I think he's a liar, he's a disgrace. I'm sorry to use the word disgrace. But he really is, and I think to have a person like that two heartbeats away from the presidency is horrifying and terrifying. And I wouldn't have said that even a couple months ago, but the man lies. He condemned, after January 6th, he condemned Trump, and then he switched gears, and then he went after Cheney and Kinzinger and others. And to me, he is a menace. And even if they win control, and it doesn't mean they're going to have a good person, they should not have Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan as Speaker of the House.
Oh, well, I agree on the, especially on the second one, but I've gotten to know Jim Jordan a little bit better than McCarthy. So.
Oh, but he's just unbelievable, you know. Again, Paul Ryan and John Boehner, the past speakers, I didn't care for them, but it's been going downhill in the Republican Party. And I just wrote today, and I just sent you, you didn't have a chance to look at it yet, about Theodore Roosevelt's birthday is today. And I wrote about how he's a very different kind of Republican, like Abraham Lincoln was, than the Republicans today, and he would not approve of the kind of treatment about all kinds of economic, social, and political issues that we have today in the Republican Party. So it's really a tragic situation, and I really see Kevin McCarthy as a real threat because he would be two heartbeats away, and I wouldn't put anything past him with the kind of people that back him. I would think the safety of the president and vice president would be endangered. I really think so. Not saying it directly would do anything, but with that kind of backing, who can say that anyone would be safe higher up, you know?
I told my wife last night there are two things that we have to do if we want to turn this country around. Get money out of politics and do away with Citizens United. Those are the two things that I think if we did that, this whole thing would turn around.
Well, actually, in 1906, Theodore Roosevelt got a law through that lasted until 2013 about campaign funds and how it was raised, but it's been destroyed by the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just beyond belief. But T.R., you know, had his faults. He's not perfect, but he is rated number four of all presidents. His foreign policy is more controversial in some ways, sort of Latin America particularly. And also, he was a white supremacist, which was normal, in quotes, at that time.
Yeah,
but in many ways, he really advanced American reform, and that's why no Republican today would say they like Teddy Roosevelt, except that maybe the group that broke away, you know, but it's only a small number. And I'm really scared of the future. I really am.
Have you noticed that the right has or the former administration has come out again demanding executive privilege.
Yes, but they should not be allowed because it's just corruption.
Yeah, now, I don't see how anybody could think that you're not an executive anymore. How do you get that privilege?
And besides, it's covering up a crime, what happened on January 6th, and the planning for it. And as I wrote in another article on my blog, seven members of Congress, according to Rolling Stone magazine, were involved in helping people before January 6th, you know, to learn what it was like in the U.S. Capitol building. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Madison Cawthorn, Paul Gosar, who's really crazy. He has six brothers and sisters, all of whom condemned him.
He's
really a wacko. And Mo Brooks of Alabama, who seems to have almost like hinted that maybe his staff was involved. He's like, he's having trouble figuring out how to react. Andy Biggs of Arizona and Louis Gohmert, who, believe it or not, from Texas, was a judge. And that years ago, and I'm saying, this guy's a judge, and he's been in Congress a long time, and he's a real nut. He always has been, Louis Gohmert. He is like one of the wackiest people. He was right up there, you know, with others that you hear about, you know, in the past that are the most loony of all. And then 10 individuals that called at the Willard Hotel, a block from the White House, you know, including Trump and Donald Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, who was mentioned by Scott, not a person to be believed, Michael Flynn, Alex Jones, my God, Sean Eastman, Bernie Kerik, who used to be police commissioner in New York City, and Boris Epstein. And there's direct evidence of all this, and so of course they want to cover it all up, but this, we have to follow this through because the future of American democracy is at stake.
I assume you listened to our newscast as you were hanging on the phone there.
I'm not sure what you're referring about this scandal about the governor.
No. It was about our auditor. Who now
the city, not the state, right?
Our city auditor.
Oh, I thought it was involving the governor. Okay,
no,
yeah.
City auditor now has been charged by our mayor as having covered up some bad stuff. So it seems to be modus operandi for politicians anymore to lie and cover up. I don't know what's going on.
I don't think it's true of all politicians. No, a lot of them, yes.
No, power really does change people, and I think there are people, I'm trying to think of anybody that I know that's taken a political office that didn't change a little bit and enjoy that power. I only know three or four politicians who have are on the winning side. And
who are those people in your mind?
No, I'm talking about local people.
I would say one person that I think did not change is Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In 97.
Yeah. Well,
I had trouble getting used to him, you know, almost 50 years ago, but the man is amazing. He really is.
Well, we have a young man here in Marion that I don't think has changed an iota, but he only won by one vote, so.
Oh, my God.
He's right on the edge.
He's re-election now, huh?
Yeah, he's coming up. But he's,
what office is that?
I forget what office.
State legislature?
No. It's local.
By one vote? And have to do a recount, I guess, right?
I think they did have to have a recount.
Yeah, we won't have to. God. Was he ahead every time they counted the votes?
Actually, he was ahead by three to start with, and then it dropped down to only one.
And the person who lost accepted the result or claimed it was crooked?
Yeah, Kai Mead's his name, and he
but the loser accepted the loss?
Yeah, there was no complaint.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
That does shock me.
Well, I wrote another blog entry that said that those, and I'm not a conservative, but those who are conservative Republicans and anti-Trump, they need to get into the 2024 presidential race. So I have a list of people, and I wouldn't vote for any of them over the Democrat. I'm just being honest. Yep. But I'd like to have an honest opponent that if he does win, at least as someone who isn't connected to Donald Trump. So my list includes Larry Hogan, the Maryland governor who has to leave office term limits, but I think he's quite good. Liz Cheney, who I don't like her father, but I mean, she's an honorable person on this whole issue of January 6th.
Yes.
Adam Kinzinger, the other person that's, you know, that sticks out, plus Ben Sasse, Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska. Yeah. Imagine Mitt Romney, I'm not thrilled, but he's at least an honorable person. I think he is. Murkowski, John Kasich. Kasich, the former governor of Ohio. I've always liked Kasich. Not perfectly, but I like him. And Evan McMillan, who ran as an independent candidate in 2020 and is now challenging Mike Lee in Utah for the nomination of the Republican Party because he was anti-Trump. So he actually ran as an independent and did quite well in Utah. So somebody's got to run because we can't just have Trumpites. Even if he doesn't run, I don't want it just to be people like Greg Abbott or Ron DeSantis or Ted Cruz. In fact, when I think of Ted Cruz, I feel ready to vomit. He's such an obscene human being. And Rand Paul, oh my God. I mean, we've got to have somebody that at least if one of them wins, I can live with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, my wife and I talked about this for the last two or three elections. When you wake up, if you can get along with it, okay. But when Trump was elected, both my wife and I woke up the next day and really, we talked about moving to Canada.
Yes.
We were very disappointed with that.
Yeah, I didn't like George W. Bush when he won, but I never felt the intensity of feeling that I feel about Donald Trump.
Yeah, when Bush won, we both went, oh, no. But we also both didn't worry about the democracy falling apart.
But we look at Ron DeSantis, they're now saying his gestures, everything he does, and the way he behaves, he's like a mini Trump. He's copying the Trump way of being, and that is obscene. And now he's offering to pay police officers who don't want to get vaccinated, which is insane, in other places like New York and Chicago and elsewhere, come to Florida, they'll give them a $5,000 bonus.
Yeah, great.
But actually, they'll never make the money in Florida that they get in other big cities of the North. But, I mean, he's trying to recruit cops from elsewhere. Cops who already, like 400 of them, have died from COVID-19. Is that enough indication that every cop should be vaccinated and not complain about it?
Well, I told you about our school system here. We have five school systems in Marion. Four of them decided not to have masks, and one of them, the biggest one, decided to make the kids wear masks. The only school that hasn't had problems staying open was the one that made them wear masks.
Well, that's further proof.
Yeah, but they're denying it. I mean, there are a lot of people that deny that.
And there's these parents who are so insistent their kids should not wear masks. Yeah. You know, and they don't seem to care about the kids and health. I mean, I really think a lot of these parents are incompetent.
I am very proud that my dad and mom made me get the polio vaccine.
Of course.
Yeah.
And all the other vaccinations, you have no choice. It's not an issue of choice. It's a question of public health and safety, as I see it.
Well, let me get on to one other item, and that's the downturn of the deaths by COVID-19. There are still places that are going up, and most of them are in the South, or at least in the Republican-led states.
Yeah, particularly I've noticed the rate is high in states that have almost no people in comparison, meaning Wyoming, Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, Alaska. And of course, one thing gets me, they have 10 seats in the Senate, and together they have almost, 2 or 3, 4% of the whole population of the country. The whole Senate thing drives me crazy, these small states have so much power with almost no people, but very few people, and it's the whole system of the U.S. Senate, and nothing can be done, but it really gives small states unusual power, and it makes the whole government system dead in its tracks. It's even West Virginia, it's a small state. Why should this man matter that much? You know what I mean?
Yeah, good question.
Arizona is a little bit bigger, but even there, and also they have problems with so many days of over 110 degrees there, and yet she doesn't want to do anything about the environment, apparently, cinema. It's crazy.
Yeah, now, why is it different with COVID-19 as opposed to polio or,
I think it's because, it's been said elsewhere, because Donald Trump got the vaccination but didn't do it in public. If he had done it in December when he got it and said, this is what you need to do, I think we wouldn't have the issues we have now because these people follow him like he's God.
Well, why do you think he said, something down your throat, anti-bacterial stuff, drink it. Why did he say things like that when he knew darn well Well, surely he knew darn well.
Ivermectin and these other things. Because he's a reckless person. He doesn't care about people. But that's the whole point. Everything is me, you know. That's all he thinks about. But if he had done that and really promoted it in December before he left, because he got a vaccination, but he mentioned it only much later, and he didn't announce it and do it in public like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have done, it really has haunted people. But, you know, I wrote an article about 10 days ago saying that the evangelical Christians, many of them, the right-wing ones, look at him as like a godlike figure. How can they be, quote, good Christians and say that?
Well, I'm not so certain that that doesn't keep... They can still be a good Christian and say that, but why would they vote for that?
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends who are of that ilk, and when we talk, I know that they're good people, but I just don't understand why they can vote for a person that is so antithetical to the way they
live. Well, that's a question of character. Yeah. I don't think there's any way around it.
Well,
and I wrote this, I want to tell you, I wrote this on October 17th, the evil hypocrisy of so-called devout evangelical people except Donald Trump is speaking for God. They actually say speaking for God. I wrote this article, I put it on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn blocked it and said it was too controversial, they would not publish it. I appealed, and they still took it off. It was on briefly, but it was taken off, but the others didn't take it off, and it's on my blog. But I don't see what I said that's anything so outrageous that it should be censored, but you know, I tried and I gave up on it. You know, but I was really surprised that LinkedIn doing that.
It's kind of amazing how it's kind of shotgun. I had somebody tell me they had been blocked for 24 hours. Now, what good does that do?
Well, actually, I've been blocked for a couple of days, a couple of times in the past.
Is that right?
On Facebook, they took something off and blocked me. I think once for a week or further back. I don't think it was anything so terrible. I didn't use foul language. I didn't threaten anybody. But it's too much censorship. I mean, really. And yet, we have plenty of the other side with all the hatred being shown on OANN Network and Newsmax and on Fox News Channel and other places. So I think Mark Zuckerberg is indirectly is responsible for a lot of that. Plus the other, you know, particularly on Facebook. But now LinkedIn, I couldn't believe LinkedIn did that.
Well, we've gotten to a point also where if you want to go against what they say and you don't believe that you should be censored, and you say, well, I'm going to sue you for that. Okay, get in line, because that lawsuit's going to take you 5 years, 10 years, 15 years to get it done. Our legal system has gotten to the point where it is so ground up and slow that, except for the people that have a lot of money, they can get stuff done quick.
Yes, but on the other hand, you know, our illustrious former president has tons of lawsuits.
Yeah.
But he never wins any of them.
No,
he just drags on, you know.
But he's got enough money, he just pays people off. And that's why I think we need to take money out of the formula. But
yes.
Anyway, I don't think that's going to happen real soon, because the people that have the money have the power, have the vote. So we're kind of, I'm afraid, stuck with this. Somehow or other, we have to find a way to right the ship of democracy, and I'm not sure that we know how to do it yet. It may require a revolt. And my wife I scare her.
That's horrifying. It really is. And the problem is, in the past, we had a section of the country break away, but in this case, it's the middle of the country, not all of it, but much of the middle of the country, against the coastlines.
Yeah.
So it's a very scary situation, but you can be sure that Vladimir Putin would love to see it happen. China would love to see it happen. North Korea, Iran, they would love to see it happen. Even the Muslim terrorists would love to see it, because we have a lot of domestic terrorists. Like, for instance, the people who have been arrested, the ones that are most seriously involved on January 6th, they're in a special wing of the D.C. jail, and I think it's like... I think it's maybe 45 of them, I think it is, or something like that. And they call that wing themselves, the people who've been arrested, the Patriot Wing. If these people ever let out, if they end up not being convicted, they're going to cause more bloodshed, because these people are really dangerous.
What was so patriotic about smearing poop on the walls of the Capitol building. I just don't understand.
And assaulting police officers, and about 140 were injured, and of course a few died. There's nothing, and of course the threat to all the members of Congress, and even Mike Pence knowing it, and yet he will not speak up and condemn what happened and join Cheney and Kinzinger and others, all because of his own ambition, which is he thinks he's going to be the nominee. He's not going to be the nominee.
I think both of us are flabbergasted about the
I just don't get it. But I don't understand Kevin McCarthy. He actually condemned after January 6th, and then he switched around. He went to see Trump in Florida, and then he switched sides, and it's just the man has no ethics, morals, or scruples, and he's really dangerous because he wants to be speaker above all, and that makes him very powerful, you know, two heartbeats away, and he controls the House, you know. And this, it can't be allowed to happen, you know, but it may very well happen.
It would be...
The gerrymandering is going to make it easier for Republicans to hold on more seats.
Oh, and they're getting away with it. I mean, there's right now in Ohio, our gerrymandering is just almost as bad as anybody's, and there are laws against what they're doing. You're not allowed to gerrymander cut out people of color. Well,
yes,
they're doing it.
They're doing that in Texas, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And look at the Senate race between Josh Mandel and J.D. Vance. They're just the most horrific candidates imaginable. The both of them. J.D. Vance might have once seemed like he was reasonable, but he switched sides and he's kissing up to Trump. But Josh Mandel, the more I've read about him and the more I know people from Cleveland, you know, who lived in Florida, and he's just unbelievable. You know, he really is. You know, he's like, I think if he wins that seat, I think he's going to want to run for president in the future, become the first Orthodox Jew, because that's what he is. And I say, that's an Orthodox Jew? Sorry, that's not to me being, that to me is hypocrisy. That's not the way a person should think. But we have these crazy people claim they're religious, and maybe they are, and they are narrow-minded and bigoted beyond belief.
Well, I don't think any of us know the answer to this, but I think I've told my wife is terrified of things that are going on, and I keep saying to her, I've lived long enough where I've seen very slow movement forward, but it seems to me it keeps moving forward. Now, this era of Trump, I think, kind of stopped it, but I am hoping that we will get back to moving forward.
Well, it is good that, for instance, Liz Cheney has raised a lot more money than all the people opposing him in Wyoming for next year's House race. And also Lisa Murkowski in Alaska has always been good, even if she went as an independent in 2010 when she lost the nomination. She'll win even if she doesn't win the Republican primary, but there are some cases where Trump people will lose out, but the question is, it's not enough. We need to make sure that Trump people are defeated, but... And we have open seats like in Rob Portman's seat, and I'm worried about the idea of either of these Republicans winning that seat, hoping Tim Ryan can win it.
Well, I just got a notification from the Ohio Democratic Party that Tim Ryan's polling, he's of all the candidates, and that's not just the Democrats, but of all the candidates, he's at 37.5, which is, you know, there are more than... two candidates, so
for the nomination, you mean?
Yeah.
But is the next person anywhere near him?
It only gave his numbers, so.
I think he's, you know, it's not exciting. Not everybody's exciting, but he's a decent man. He's a moderate. He's not extremely liberal, so in Ohio that makes sense, I would hope. But, you know, I just the thought of Senator Mandel or Senator Vance, oh my God. I mean, it's just, it's shocking, you know.
Well, at least Jordan didn't decide to run for senator.
Well, he probably is still worried he's going to be in legal trouble, because I think he is.
I don't know. That question about the locker rooms at OSU keeps popping up.
That's a separate issue. I'm talking about the thing with January 6th, though. Yeah.
Right.
But the locker room issue,
The locker room keeps popping up. Way off in the distance, it'll pop up. But
I guess he's never going to agree to be interviewed by your station again, huh?
I doubt it. Because
by either you or by Adam or by Scott, I guess.
Well, I asked once. Or no, I've asked more than once. But I got no response. But he did do an interview with Scott. And
not a pleasant one.
No, it was, well, it was okay for Scott. It wasn't so pleasant for him, I guess. Oh, well. Life is too short to worry about all this. I don't know. I'm going to go out, and now that my puppy dog is in...
Well, I'm glad he's... It's a he, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad he's better, yeah.
Yeah. Now that he's getting better, my day is much brighter, even though it's cold and overcast right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to say one more thing in a couple
sure.
of minutes.
Yeah, we got
about, there was an article on History News Network, not by me, rating presidents on integrity and humanity in dealing with Native American nations.
Where was this?
On History News Network last week, not by me, though, but an article rating presidents on integrity and humanity. I wrote about it on the blog.
Yeah.
Dealing with Native American nations, and they list presidents who were seen as villains to Native Americans. Jefferson, Jackson, Van Buren, Andrew Johnson, Garfield, Theodore Roosevelt, that's one thing he's not good on, and Donald Trump. And the good presidents, the reformers, interesting list, John Quincy Adams, Calvin Coolidge, surprise, Herbert Hoover, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's very fascinating.
Those candidates are all over the place.
Yes, but Coolidge and Hoover surprised me a bit, you know.
Yeah.
But Nixon, I'm not surprised. Nixon, with all his bad stuff, he actually was good on the environment, and he was good on many issues, you know, including the Interior Department, which deals with Native Americans. So
pretty good
Nixon
on
looks a lot better than Trump, for sure.
He was not too bad on foreign affairs, either.
No, not bad at all. And also the various domestic agencies, OSHA, and other things like that, Occupational Safety Health Administration, and others. So, anyway,
we're running out of time.
I'll see you next week, and then the week after, I will not be there, but you'll have a great show in 2 weeks, I can see.
All right, keep that blood pressure down.
Okay, thanks so
much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Ronald Fineman. Become a pretty good friend of mine, and I hope you enjoyed the show, and come on back.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren